Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Good morning, all. Thanks for coming out. It's good to see everybody. All right, I'm going to invite Dave up to share with us.
So, good morning. Glad to see you all here this morning. And I don't have a Memorial Day themed message, but I, kind of like Matt did, do want to comment a little bit on it because I think it's important for us. I can't help but to think of Romans 5, 7, and 8 when I think about the service people who gave their life. It says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So we do want to honor and remember those rare people who were willing to give their lives. And you know, one of the things that you hear sometimes is that there's people that almost get offended that we might honor all veterans on Memorial Day because it is for those who gave their lives. But I think it's also something that we need to remember that not everybody that gave their life necessarily died on that battlefield. There's people who came home from the war but were not living. So we remember them as well. So just join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those people, those brave men and women who had the rare courage to die for freedom. We thank you also for those that a part of them died, Lord God. We pray for those that you would restore them, that they would come to know you and your restoration power, and your reconciliation, and your redemption. Most of all, Lord God, we never want to forget your great love demonstrated in the cross, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as Matt said, we've been reading the book of Revelation this month, remembering that it's not about the end of the world, but it is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that, again, as he said, we interpret what Revelation says through the rest of Scripture, not through the current events that are happening. And I just had in my notes that last week Matt shared a message from Luke 17, what Jesus said about what we might expect in the final days of this time. And verse 32 says, "Remember Lot's wife." And again, I encourage you to go back and listen to the entire message, but the basic idea is that Lot's wife, when they were departing Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back. She looked back at the city before it was destroyed by fire from heaven. So again, take a listen to that on the podcast. But we need to not look back, but rather we need to focus on today and on what lies ahead. And today we're going to continue focusing on that theme, and we're going to go out of 2 Peter 3. And I'm going to read that entire portion, that entire chapter. It says, "Know this. First of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as they were from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was being destroyed and being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him, at peace, and in regard to the patience of our Lord as and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to his wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them with these things, in which there are some things that are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of scriptures. To your own destruction, you therefore, beloved, to their own destruction, I'm sorry. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now, theologians, biblical scholars, those who study history as it relates to our faith, to God, to creation, and to everything, they break down the periods of history into seven ages or seven dispensations, which basically describe or refer to man's relationship to God in that particular time, in that particular age. So the first was the age of innocence, and that was the time at creation before Adam and Eve sinned, before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were innocent because they didn't know. So the next then came the age of consciousness, or the age of conscience. Knowing both good and evil, there's a choice to make. The third is the age of government, and that began in Noah's time after God basically tried to do a reboot and start over, got rid of what was evil, and brought Noah and his family through. And so the age of government was established. After that came the age of promise. And that was given through Abraham. That it was promised that his blessings would be to all people. The age of the law came through Moses. And then there's the current age, the age of grace. And that was given through Christ and the cross. The final age will be the kingdom age. That's when Christ returns and establishes the new heaven and new earth, the kingdom of heaven on earth. So we live in that age, which known as the age of grace, or the dispensation of grace. We're no longer under the law, but the kingdom has not been fully established yet. We are some of those, though, that have the privilege of being part of that transition to the kingdom age. And that should be both our prayer and our purpose in our lives. That the kingdom would come and that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we continue to look at the revelation of Christ seen through the lens of Scripture, it's important that we hear what Jesus says. In John 16:1, he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that you will be not be led into sin. And John 16 is a chapter that deals with what Jesus says we can expect in the time before he returns. These things I've spoken to you so that you will not be led into sin. Matthew 24, another chapter that deals with what Jesus says we can expect. Verses 4 and 5, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many people. You know, and there's many ways that people can be misled, and there's many ways that people can mislead many people. It's important to recognize that in this verse, Jesus says that they say that I am the Christ, which Jesus is saying, they're going to say that Jesus is the Christ. The deception is that they say that the Christ of today is different than the one who was. They say that Jesus today would conform to the culture rather than that the culture should conform to his image. Since we live in the age of grace, it's important, it's vital that we truly understand God's grace so that we're not misled as Jesus warns us. The grace given to us on the cross did not make sin acceptable to God. The grace of the cross made us acceptable to God. Those who were sinners redeemed from our sin. To continue in sin because of grace is presumption. Romans 6, 1 and 2, Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Far from it. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Ephesians 2, 8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That we live in this age of grace is truly a gift of God. And remember that Revelation is not about the end, but it's really about the end of the age. That's how Jesus describes it. It's the end of the age, the end of the age of grace. As with previous ages or dispensations, the age of grace will come to an end because there's another one to come. The thing is, these ages and dispensations do all overlap. It doesn't mean that one is voided. Because God's not limited to or locked into finite time as we are, they have this tendency to all be in force, to overlap. In Matthew 5, 17 and 18, Jesus says, do not think that I came to abolish the law. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. So even though Jesus fulfilled the law is still in force. For those who don't accept Jesus' fulfillment, the grace of God given through the cross, the law is still in force. For now, in this age of grace, really God's greatest grace to the world is that he continues to give everyone time to repent. In the text, Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. He says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God? We shouldn't look back. And today, as we look forward, Peter asks that question, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of God? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. We should look forward, but can we really hasten the coming day of God? You know, I used to previously consider that question with some reservation. Because even if I could, even if there was something I could do to hasten that day of the Lord's coming, I wondered, would I want to do that? Because there's so many of my family and my friends and loved ones who aren't ready. They need that continued grace of God, that continued grace of His time. So we need to make the best use of our time. But you know, I have peace with that now. Because I come to understand this, that even though I can't fully understand or comprehend with my finite mind, that there's not going to be any tears or any regret or any sorrow in heaven. The Bible says it's true. In Revelation 21, 3 and 4, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." So I don't know how that's going to work, but I trust Him. And I believe and I wait expectantly to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master." Because the truth is that in the joy of our master, there won't be able to be any sorrow. So what sort of people ought we be? Peter says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by Him at peace, and to regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory." We're to be found diligent, to be spotless and blameless. But we also need to be obedient to our call and our purpose as we transition from age to age. As Jesus says in Acts 1, 8, we're to be His witnesses. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're to be witnesses and testify of Christ everywhere we go. As He says in Matthew 5:14 to 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people put a light or light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in your house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." If we can hasten the day of His coming, it's by walking in our calling, by doing what He's called us and equipped us to do. We can do our part in being part of the transition to the kingdom age, and the answer, and be part of the answer to the prayer that Jesus taught us. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." In closing today, I have a spoiler alert for you. If you haven't finished reading Revelation yet, if you haven't completed it, I'm sorry, but I have a spoiler alert, because the last verses, the final unveiling of Christ, are revealed, but it's also what our response should be to His coming. Not in fear, not with anxiety, but Revelation 22, 12 through 21 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to reward each one as his work deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, that if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. That's a reason not to interpret it wrongly. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And that's what we have for today. So enjoy the fellowship, the food. And again, there's more than enough. So let's just pray that blessing on the food. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time of worship. We thank you for your word. And we thank you now that we have an opportunity to fellowship. We ask you to bless the food and the fellowship to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.